from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. A randomly selected passenger seat from the Bay Area Rapid Transit was recently tested by a San Francisco State University lab biologist graduate student, and it proved positive for a range of bacteria. The Bay Area citizen, which initiated the test, reported the presence of no less than 9 bacterial strains, including the so-called superbug, potentially lethal MRSA. In this Forum segment, we want to discuss this story, the dangers of rampant bacteria on BART's comfortable fashion cushion seats, and look into what needs to be done. We want to first talk with Zusha Ellenson, who is a reporter who covered this story and got it into the papers, covers transportation, land use, and marijuana for Bay Citizen. And welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your being here, and I think people who are writing BART may be appreciating what you've brought to their attention, too, though possibly holding their nose or holding their breath or whatever. What was the genesis of this story? What started it?
So there were two reasons why we did this story. The first is that BART is currently considering what kind of seats to put in their new trains when they roll them out in 2017. They're thinking of putting either plastic seats or the seats like the current cloth ones or vinyl seats. And then the other factor was, for as long as I've lived in the Bay Area, everyone has wondered what is living in the BART seats.
Well, they're fabric cushion seats, and they've been there since the opening in 1972. Very comfortable, but lots of dirt, grime, and stains, and you discovered much more as a result of some of these tests, huh?
Yes, we did. So what we did is we went out and we took a sample of a random BART seat, and we put it in a petri dish, and what grew was sort of a forest of mold and bacteria. I was quite surprised. There was sort of fluorescent mold. There was fluorescent bacteria and a bunch of different mold. And then we isolated them, and we found a number of bacteria that was resistant to antibiotics. And our scientists told us that those bacteria were from either feces or skin-borne bacteria.
Yeah, we have that scientist here with us in studio. But these are hard-to-clean cloth seats. I mean, that's part of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's really what we were trying to get at here. So what we did is we took an alcohol wipe and we cleaned the seat after we tested it, and then we tested it again, and we found that there was still bacteria on the seat. And when we did that on the Muni seat, which, as everyone knows, is hard plastic, it cleaned it right up and there was no bacteria. And what that showed us, I think, was that the cloth seat is actually pretty hard to rid of all these germs.
Well, we'll find out more about this bacteria, but specifically you found the superbug that I mentioned in my introduction, MRSA, which is potentially lethal.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, we did. We isolated some bacteria, as our scientist Darlene Franklin will tell you, and two tests showed that this bacteria had characteristics of MRSA. We did a third test that came back negative, as she'll explain to you. But potentially, it could be something like MRSA, which is a very dangerous bacteria. Now, we talked to a professor at Berkeley who told us that the risk of getting an infection from a BART seat is not, he doesn't think it's that high. But still, we thought it was important for people to know what's living in these seats.
Well, we're going to find out more about this with our other guests who are here. Zusha Ellenson, again, is a reporter who covers transportation, land use for the Bay Citizen. And thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're also joined by Darlene Franklin here in studio, who is Supervisor of Biology Instructional Services Facility. She's a graduate student at San Francisco State. She was brought in to do the testing on this. Welcome to the program, Darlene.
Thank you.
We also have Bob Franklin, no relation, who is president of the BART board, and we're glad to have you with us. Good morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And John Swartzberg is joining us by phone this morning. He's clinical professor of medicine at UC Berkeley School of Public Health. And Professor Swartzberg, glad to have you with us as well. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Darlene, you put this stuff under test and found all these things swarming around, huh?
Yes, I did. And I would like to, again, reiterate that these are preliminary findings, and it's not concluded that it is MRSA. So I don't want the public thinking there's a public health crisis going on. And Dr. Swartzberg, if I'm saying your name correctly, sir, you pointed that out in the article as well. And we must remember that microbes are found everywhere. I am a microbiologist, an aspiring microbiologist, and so this is not my field of specialty. However, what I did do was a basic random sampling of a seat on BART as well as on Muni. And,
Muni looks a lot better, doesn't it?
It did because, the whole thing is based on the results that we found from the plates that grew. I used different tests, And this is supposed to have served as a community outreach on behalf of the biology department. And I want to also state that really clearly. We had the request from the Bay Citizen through San Francisco State Public Affairs. They contacted them, and Public Affairs at State University contacted Dr. Goldman in the biology department, and he offered who would like to take on the project, and I said I would, because I had done something similar to this for our university in 2006. I tested gym equipment.
And you're not a professor, as you are identified on KRON television.
No, I am not.
Let's make that clear, but certainly an aspiring one, perhaps. And the Muni seats are plastic. They're more sanitary. The fact of the matter is that when you cleaned these seats with alcohol, you still had a lot of serious microbe.
On the BART one, yeah. We had one particular isolate that I isolated. And, you know, it's...
It kind of grows in the fabric, doesn't
it? Grew, it grew. Yeah. You know, it's in there because it's difficult to clean the cloth seats. And that's the point of it.
And one of the reasons, Bob Franklin, is difficult to clean those seats is about half of those who are supposed to be doing it are absent, aren't they? I mean, you got about a 45% absentee rate of the people who do the cleaning.
Yes, and to be fair to those cleaners, I mean, I spent a night cleaning, and
it's a tough job.
It's a very tough job. It's 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. You're out in the cold, sometimes rainy weather, and you don't have a platform to walk on to the BART train. You're climbing in and out of the BART trains all night long with a heavy vacuum, heavy mop, all the mops and equipment that you use to clean it. And I think, too, so it's I think we unfairly have not prioritized cleaning, and so we've stretched this crew too thin.
Well, you've prioritized reliability and safety, which most people would say that's the way perhaps it should be. But you're spending about $595,000 a year on dry cleaning, as I read.
Yes.
And you've got an absentee rate of 45%. Now, as hard as the work is, you're spending a lot of money to pay these people, aren't you?
We are. The absentee rate generally is about 25% for vacations and sick leave. So it's a little bit higher right now. But a lot of it is because of the strain that we put on them. So in this year's budget, which will be adopted July 1st year, we are providing better equipment and to make their job easier. So it's a very tough job, and just to clean 100 cars a night for a worker to go through as fast as they can with a heavy vacuum, pulling it through the cars and climbing in and out. So we have to make their job easier. And I think it'll improve their morale and it'll reduce the absentee rate.
And maybe make the seats cleaner? I mean, because I know you got new seats that are being installed, as we heard, in 2017. You're going to have a whole new fleet of cars and presumably have, well, seats that don't attract all this swarm of microbes?
Yeah, and I think that's even though it's negative publicity for BART, it's an opportunity to let people know that we are going to be testing this spring new seats, and we're going to be soliciting input from the public. So in 1972, we were competing directly against the automobile. We wanted a luxurious ride and a comfortable seat. And now, almost 40 years later, things have changed. So is the comfort the top priority, or would you rather have something that's easily cleaned and as comfortable as possible?
And again, Bob Franklin is president of BART. And by the way, let's bring our public into this. If you'd like to join this conversation, we certainly welcome your phone calls. You may be a BART rider and you may have some concerns. We're going to hear in a moment from Dr. Swartzberg about the public health issues. But in the meantime, let me give you the phone number and invite you to join the program. It's toll-free, 866-733-6. 786, and we do welcome your thoughts and your calls, questions and comments you may have. Again, toll-free, 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to us at forum@kqed.org or post a question or comment on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. And let's go to John Swartzberg, who, again, is clinical professor of medicine at UC Berkeley School of Public Health, and get your sense of just how serious a public health issue this may be. We're talking about a lot of bacteria, but maybe not so much to be terrified of here, Dr. Swartzberg?
Definitely not so much to be terrified, Michael. To put this in perspective, there are perceived and real risks that we face every day, and the real risks that we face are like smoking and obesity and risky behavior and so on. I would put this at the other end of the spectrum as being a very small risk to the public.
Well, there's also the whole problem of environmental culturing, isn't there? It's not always either accurate.
Well, environmental culturing is a real art and a real science, and it's difficult to do, and it's difficult to get reproducible results. And as Dr. Francis earlier said, this is one sample. These are preliminary results. So I think that's an important perspective as well.
You're making Darlene Franklin a doctor now, a primator, a professor.
Sorry.
No, sorry. She's a graduate student, and she doesn't want to be elevated at rank, not at least at this juncture of her life. But this MRSA, MRSA, I mean, it's lethal, and so people immediately get their concerns up.
Yeah, they do. And I think part of the problem is, as you framed it earlier, you call this a superbug. And I think that that's a dangerous and perhaps not real accurate term. Somewhere between about 0.5 and 1%, in some studies even higher, of the healthy population carries this bug either in their nose or on their skin somewhere. So it's not necessarily something that is lethal if you get it on your body. I think the risk the reporter put in his paper earlier this week was the idea that if you were sitting on a BART train or anywhere and you had an open wound and you had short pants on, it's possible you could get the MRSA in the wound at that point. But that's, I think, about as much of a stretch as I could give it.
That's more through the skin than through, you know, immune system or some fashion like that. But
right.
Isn't it called a superbug because it's so resistant to any antibiotics?
Well, there's lots and lots of bacteria, unfortunately, today that are resistant to multiple antibiotics. MRSA is just one of those. So that's why I'm a little reluctant to say this is the super bug. And fortunately, we do have antibiotics that work against it and work very well against it. So it's not like we have nothing.
Again, John Swartzberg is clinical professor of medicine with the UC Berkeley School of Public Health. And we'll go to your calls. We'll start with this caller in Oakland, and that's John. Good morning. You're on Forum, John.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say, you know, last summer I got a MRSA infection. A skin infection on my leg, and the first thing my doctor said when I asked where did this come from was, do you ride BART? And at the time I was riding BART back and forth to San Francisco every day, and she said that she's seen this many times, that people have gotten infections from riding a BART or from touching a thing, that the poles on the BART trains, and said to use the hand sanitizers as much as possible.
So thank you for that call, John. Let me go to Professor Swartzberg again. How common is this, picking it up on BART, do you think, or how common would it be just in terms of your assessment of things?
Well, we really have no data at all in terms of the risk of riding on BART. BART's such a heavily traveled, human-populated conveyance that it's not surprising that there's lots of bacteria there and lots of fungi and other organisms. There are lots of there's lots of MRSA in our environment in general. There have been studies done that show MRSA on computer keyboards, on other what we call inanimate objects or fomites. So wherever lots of human beings are touching, there's the possibility that there's going to be MRSA there. And BART, being so heavily traveled by so many people, it would increase the probability.
Well, we're going to get a little scatological for a moment. Forgive me for that. This is the ick factor, but they also found fecal material. And how common is it to find that sort of around the BART seats, Bob Franklin, from what we know?
I think it's rare. And my understanding was it may have been skin or fecal. And I didn't hear that it was conclusively fecal.
Darlene Franklin? What?
It was not solid fecal. This was a bacteria that you find in the human, from the human gut, and it usually shows up in fecal contamination.
So the assumption is fecal matter that we
sampled.
So, I mean, I think it's I haven't heard or seen, and I ride BART a lot, and you know, sometimes it gets dirty and people leave their trash, but I think that's an extreme case. You know, with 350,000 riders and a day and 100 million a year, that's a lot of people traveling the BART system.
John Swartzberg, you feel comfortable riding BART? Do you feel safe and secure riding BART?
I do.
And let me ask the same question to Darlene Franklin, if I may.
I have said that already on Crown 4, and yes, definitely.
Okay. And getting back to this issue about fecal, I want to make sure that the public understands that this is a microorganism that's found in human feces. It's also found in on other parts of human beings. I was frankly not surprised that when she cultured the oocytes that some organisms that are found in feces are found there. With all, so many people sitting on BART every day, I would have been shocked if it wasn't found.
Well, here's a listener who reminds us that there was a study done that found that shopping cart handles have been found to have bacteria and fecal matter on them, and ATM buttons have more bacteria on them than bathroom door handles. Let me get some more of your calls on, and we'll go next to Rachel in San Mateo. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question regarding the BART spending $12,500. I think it was a month, it said in the article, on buying new cloth seats instead of just phasing in plastic seats over time. I'm just wondering how quickly BART can get safer seats in the BART.
Bob Franklin.
It's $12,500 per car to retrofit the car, and we're putting in new flooring. We had carpeted floors, and now we're putting in a composite flooring that's cleaner and more easily to clean. And as far as switching seats, we're looking to replace our fleet beginning in 2017, but we're receiving bids right now, and we should award a contract this year. So I think to go through and change all our seats would be a inefficient use of our resources at this point. But we are going to be testing the seats this year and soliciting input on what the public wants.
And we'll go to more of your calls. May joins us next. Good morning, May.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. A few quick comments. One, regarding cleaning employees who are overworked. I'd like to say lots of people are overworked and they don't call in sick almost half the time, number one. Number two, when I wrote BART for a number of years, and getting on at the end of the line, sometimes you get on the train and there's, you know, Chinese food, burgers on the floor from a train that's coming right out of the yard from the night before. And I have never, in the number of years I wrote BART, ever got on the train without at least a homeless guy for every two cars.
All right, May, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you because your call, your phone line is not very good. But actually, dovetailing with that, Bob Franklin, is an email from Don in San Ramon. It says, if the seats are dirty because of unenforced food and drink rules, why aren't BART police on the trains to enforce these rules and provide general security? I see BART police cars all over city streets, but they never ride the trains. The only significant police presence I've seen is on the day of the Oscar Grant demonstration.
Well, there's been, since the Oscar Grant tragedy, there's been a conscious effort to put more officers on our trains. And we have a new police chief, and we have a shift in the way we're policing our agency. And we received a federal grant to specifically have police officers ride trains during the peak of the commute period.
But there's apparently a lot of food and not necessarily enforcement with a lot of food and drink.
I think that's probably fair. And with the more officers on the train, I think that should go down. And, yeah, unfortunately, people do realistically will eat and drink on the trains.
And you were going to add something, Darlene Franklin?
Yes. On the day that we did the test, there were at least two or three BART police that came on board, and I felt really good seeing them on there.
Okay. There's some more emails. Here's from Don in Oakland who says, as a San Francisco tour guide, I talk to hundreds of tourists every week. Those who come into the city from SFO by BART invariably mention the disgusting seats. We can't wait until 2017. And here's Bryce in Oakland who says, the ick factor, risk to my personal health and hygiene on the BART due to the seats is cut in half due to the fact that one half of my commute each day riding to work, I never get a seat. I stand huddled and amongst numerous passengers who are paying twice as much as 4 years ago but do not ever get to sit down. Another listener on Facebook, David, says, not surprising here, but I bet you'd never encounter the same grossness in Japan. Denise says, fabric and public transportation don't mix. Please, BART, start looking at places that get public transportation right. Japan, Germany, France, and copy them. In such places, you'll find subway trains that can, in effect, be pressure washed and doused in alcohol. I'll say something before, though, about that caller who, again, mentioned all the sick time that's used. I mean, I think she's got a point, Bob Franklin, that there are a lot of people who work very hard, but they're not necessarily using all that sick time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think sick time, it's an absenteeism. It's not sick time. So I think there's a slight differentiation. So there's probably a 20% higher trend than normal. And we have identified that as an issue, and we are going to be addressing it in a multi-pronged way. And part of the way is to get to make their job easier. You know, I mean, in my experience that night, it was exhausting climbing in and out from the ground up into a BART train with carrying a heavy vacuum up and down, pulling it through the train. So I think there's some ergonomic issues that we can address as an organization to cut down on when an employee can't come to work.
You want another suggestion? Here's a listener, James, who writes, "My first concern when hearing about the 45% absentee rate for the seat cleaners is that they could be picking up illness from the seats as they try to clean them. Does BART keep track of the causes of this excessive absentee rate? Confirm or dispute this?"
I think the workers are using rubber gloves and when they're going through the train car, and as they should. So they're taking precautions, and so I don't think it's related.
Darlene, here's a question for you from a listener named Christopher. True or false, dollar bills would be just as hospitable to potentially harmful bacteria and microbes as BART seating?
True.
Another listener from Oakland, Jamal, says, "It's great to examine the cleanliness of BART seats, but I'm horrified every day of the week by the absolutely disgusting state of the carpeted floors. Each time I entered one of these older, dirty trains, I am hit by a blast of mold, mildew smell. Are there any health risks from the floors? It also seems that the program to replace the carpets with hard surfaces has stalled. Why?" Well, they did find mold as well, didn't they, on the seats? Didn't you,
yes,
Darlene?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah, but it takes about 3 days to renovate a car to replace the carpet with the composite flooring. And I was out at the shops yesterday where, you know, there's four stations where we have probably a pretty big crew doing the replacement right now. And I think passengers respond positively to get that carpeted floor out. It's not an appropriate fabric for a floor.
Let me go back to Professor Schwartzberg. Actually, I think, John Schwartzberg, you were going to add something here?
I was just going to add that I think the floors are really the yuck factor. I mean, but I don't think they're a public health risk.
Well, talk about public health risks in perhaps another context. A listener named Lisa says, "I know I should be alarmed by these findings, but I am not. I assume this is pretty common in public spaces. It would be helpful to have some comparisons, such as airplane seats, movie seats, and the dreaded public toilet seats. Am I taking some risk by riding BART, or is it the same risk I take all the time in other public places?" Dr. Schwartzberg?
I think she's right. I think it's the same risk she takes in every public place. Wherever there's lots of people, there's going to be lots of microorganisms.
I'm looking at my public radio seat here that I'm sitting in with a whole different view.
You know, I think a greater risk to riders on BART or any place where human beings are very crowded together are the viruses that are that come out when people cough and sneeze. And I think that's a substantial risk to people in terms of the respiratory viruses. What BART riders can do if they're worried about what they may pick up from those seats is, I know BART has lots of the hand sanitizers when you walk out, and they can just use some of that alcohol.
Bob Franklin, yeah.
Yes, they're at every station by the exits.
And another listener in Berkeley writes, "The train cars with new linoleum flooring smell much better. I can only imagine how fresh the trains would be if plastic seats were deployed on the system. Nobody rides so far that the seats would be uncomfortable. If anything, it would deter some from lounging or sleeping on the train, which soft seats promote. This would benefit all riders." And another listener, Darlene Franklin, David from Richmond, says, "I have a biology degree with an emphasis on microbiology. I think this is a little bit of information that can be dangerous, as there are bacteria, mold, and yeast in the air all around us. I would love it if they had also tested the seats in their car, in their home, in their office, and even in their laboratory." And you were kind of nodding your head at this, yeah.
I tested it in our gym at San Francisco State.
What'd you find? Same stuff, huh?
We found similar microbes, but not antibiotic resistance, and that was in 2006.
Not MRSA, though.
Not MRSA. Oh, we found Staph aureus because it's a common microbe on your skin and in the environment, and then I further tested and found that it was not, confirmed that it was not.
So we get a caller. I'm sorry, Bob.
I think that's an important point, just to put it in context. So we have this, we compared it to a Muni seat and a BART seat, and not what other seats and other germs are out there that we all come to, that we all are exposed to on a daily basis.
We're going to go to another caller. Clayton, join us. Thanks for waiting. You're on.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I have a quick question or comment. Is basically, you know, there are no bathrooms in the BART. I've seen people using the restroom in a car before. I've seen people using the restroom on the platform. I've seen people using the restroom in the parking garage.
Yeah, I'm afraid we get the gist of that with Bob Franklin's comment.
There are restrooms in they're not in below ground stations. So there are some towards the end of the line, and the we do have the restrooms that are open, but that it's I've seen it too, unfortunately. So yeah, it's a problem that stemmed back from the 911 attacks when we were told to close our restrooms, because it's a opportunity for someone to hide, and that was the genesis for that.
So what kind of changes can we expect for that new fleet of cars that's going to be ready presumably in 2017?
Well, I think the interior will be different in terms of the seating fabric, you know, which we were talking about today. But also I think one of the major changes is there'll be three doors per car per side instead of two. So that'll help passengers get on and off more quickly, and will speed up our service, because that's our dwell time at the station. It takes a while sometimes to get people on and off, and people gather around doors.
And let me get a few recommendations from you, John Swartzberg, about, just as we've said, you've made the difference between a perceived and a real public health issue or risk. But it's kind of smart for people maybe to ride these trains or go in public places, not necessarily wearing shorts or with open wounds. What else can you recommend in terms of just being prophylactic and careful?
Sure. I think that's the main thing. If you have an open wound, you don't want to rub that open wound against anything. So that's sort of common sense. You certainly should have that wound covered. I think the other was the point that we made about the use of the alcohol hand sanitizers. When you get off BART, use those, and that will get any organisms that could potentially be harmful to you off of your hands.
Good to have them with you, frankly, at most of the time, wouldn't you say, Darlene Franklin?
Well, yes, they are our friends, and that's what I said in 2006 in SF State newspaper. They are our neighbors. We have good microbes on us. And I would like to add to that we should also follow our doctor's prescription when we are treated for an antibiotic infection, that we use our dosage as prescribed. If it's for 10 days that you must use that antibiotic to treat that bacterial infection, then please, if you're feeling good by the fourth or fifth day, don't say, I don't need to use it anymore. Because all we're doing is becoming incubators for these antibiotic resistance bacteria, helping them build that, that mutation.
And this conversation will continue on our website, kqed.org/forum, and on KQED Forum's Facebook page. I want to extend thanks to Zusha Ellenson from Bay Citizen, who joined us earlier, also to John Swartzberg from UC Berkeley School of Public Health, and Darlene Franklin from San Francisco State, and Bob Franklin from BART. Thank you all for being with us. Thank you, our listeners. And we are here with you Monday through Friday. We've got another hour of Forum coming your way. We're going to talk with David Kirp from the Goldman School of Public Policy, UC Berkeley, about his new book, Kids First, really a map for what we can do to save our children in the future. Stay with us on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.